Do you really think that today you really understand the love of God? That you really understand the depth of His love? I don't. I'm learning. And I want to know more about the depth and richness of God's love towards us, because it's His love that will bring us in the end to His glory, to His heaven. And we're on our way. I hope all of us are on our way to heaven. And we want to talk about the reality of heaven today. If you have not made use of it yet, we still have door hangers available to invite friends and neighbors. So please take some home and invite others. Of course, today is going to be gone by the time you do that, but there's another two Sundays about heaven is for real. What comes to mind when you hear someone speak of heaven? When you hear someone saying, "I know I'm going to heaven," what do you think of? Do you picture God Almighty on His throne, the cherubs shouting at one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the lands are full of His glory." And the seraphim singing beautiful, beautiful songs to the glory of God. Or maybe you picture a sweet reunion of a loved one, maybe your parents or a spouse that you're waiting to see, and you picture heaven as this reunion, this joy of greeting your loved one again after so many years. When I think of heaven, I don't know really what to think, because really that's all of it, plus a lot more. Or maybe you picture a vast, endless mass of clouds where you hop on one cloud to the other. You can lie down on the cloud like this and just float in the air. You're weightless. Someone asked once, "What are we going to do in heaven? Are we going to just lie on the clouds and just enjoy and just kind of go like this? And Lord, we don't know what to do. We're here now and we're glad we're here, but there's not much to do. We're bored. I mean, we left all our video games and all our toys here on earth, all the hobbies and everything we left here, and what are we going to do in heaven? Is there going to be any fun? I mean, real fun?" I guarantee you there will be. There will be more fun than here. It will be a wholesome fun. It will be a fulfillment that we can't even imagine. One national survey suggests that 81% of all Americans believe in an afterlife of some sort. 81%. 81 people out of 100 believe that there is an afterlife. Although not 80% may be believers in Christ, or even believe in heaven for that matter, but 76% of those that call that afterlife heaven, they say, "Yes, we believe in heaven." The majority of people believe in heaven. And it's interesting, because a lot of those same people that believe in heaven, they don't believe in hell. And loved ones, I want to just mention this. If there is a heaven, if there is this joy above all imagination, there's also the other place that no one wants to talk about. But it's a reality too. Those that don't go to heaven, they go to hell. There was a couple that and the man was very stingy. He saved all his money, his cash, and he had it in bags. And one day he told his wife, he said, I have put my cash in the attic that when I die on the way to heaven, I'll take it with me. And when he died, after he died, she climbed up there and she saw the cash. And he said, I knew it. He should have put it in the basement. He didn't go to heaven. We may say, well, that's a joke, but this is a reality. Either we go to heaven or we go to hell. The large majority of people believe in heaven. And some 3,000 years ago, King Solomon wrote this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. God has planted or put eternity in the human heart. Eternity is in your heart and my heart. It doesn't matter if someone says, no, I don't believe in all that stuff. It doesn't change anything. It's the fact, the reality that God has created us. He has put eternity in our hearts. It is now our decision where we will be in eternity. And some people may argue with you and say, well, no, God has only chosen 144,000. The rest, they all go to hell. That is not true. It cannot be true, because that's not the gospel. You see, we are created to want something beyond this life on earth. We are created with a thirst, with a desire, with a deep longing that knows in the depth of our hearts, every soul knows this earth is not all there is. There is something else. There's something more. We are programmed by our Creator to crave for significance, for fulfillment, for wholeness. We want to be complete one day, because in this life we will never be quite complete. We will always desire for something better. And that's the eternity God has put in your and my heart. We desire something better than this life. And God says to us through Jesus Christ, I have something better for you. And you can rejoice in that. So in our series, new series of studies from God's Word, we want to focus on the greatest mysteries we could ever hope to understand. And I want to use excerpts out of the book, Heaven is for Real. Have you read it yet? I mean, we have it available in the library. I'm not sure if it's all registered yet, but we have three books that are going to be available to read. So you can read the whole thing if you want to. This is a story that is written by Todd Burpo, a pastor, and Lynn Vincent as the editor. And Pastor Todd was the pastor of Crossroads Wesleyan Church in Imperial, Nebraska, a small country church. And he is the father of Colton Burpo, the little boy who underwent emergency appendectomy surgery when he was not yet 4 years old. And after a miraculous recovery, and many people had prayed earnestly to God, Colton began to describe to his parents what his visit to heaven was all about. And while Todd and his wife Sonia, the parents, were skeptical at first, Colton authenticated his claim by describing exactly what his parents had done or where they were during the operation. We will read in that book that Colton told his parents, "Dad, when you were in one room praying, Mom was in another room on the telephone and she was crying." And that was exactly true. So he had seen a lot while he was out of his body. He talked of seeing people he had never met in his life. He told of events that happened before he was born. He couldn't have known them, and gave astonishing descriptions of heaven that match exactly what the Bible says. And that is the interesting story. When I first read it, of course, you know, books, you can write a lot of things, but when what someone has seen is exactly what's in the Bible, then I pay attention. So our text today, we want to look at John chapter 14, verse 1 through 4, where Jesus says this. And this is where this actually takes place, where Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples, who are also his closest friends and followers. And he had just told them that one of the 12, would betray him. And he had told Peter that Peter would deny him. And that was depressing news for the disciples. I mean, he had the 12, and one would deny him and one would betray him. And now Jesus says this to his disciples and to us. John 14, verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." So Jesus spoke these words the very night that he would be arrested, and the evening before his crucifixion. He knew he was going to leave soon. And he said, "If it were not so, I would have told you." In other words, he wanted to prepare his disciples for eternity. He wanted to give him a hope that goes beyond the immediate. The immediate was the cross. The immediate was darkness. The immediate was suffering and agony. But Jesus says, "Don't let your heart be troubled. There is a hope beyond all this." And this is for you and me. You may be suffering. You may be having all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of struggles, all kinds of temptations, health problems, and what have you. We have them by the ton loads. Jesus wants to tell you and me today, look beyond that. Do not let your heart be troubled. Be of good cheer, in other words. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. You see, in Jesus' time, the Sadducees did not believe in heaven or in the resurrection of the dead. The Pharisees did. So there were two groups, religious groups, that differed with one another. The Sadducees, their name already, Sad, you see, already tells about the hopelessness of their beliefs. No resurrection of the dead, no heaven, and no hell. And people would like that to be true and would just say, you know, with this life, everything is over. And I'm fine with that because I just want to live life to the fullest. And I just want to focus on this life and finish it. And don't let anything untried. I want to try everything that is out there until I die. And then everything is just over. No, it's not over. Did you know that Jesus taught and referred to God as the Father who lives in heaven. Have you ever thought of the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples? We shall pray, our Father who art in heaven. This is the model prayer that Jesus gave us. The word heaven is found 276 times in the New Testament. And the final book of the Bible shows us the glory of that. Referring to the book, Heaven is for Real, the Burpor family, at the end of the book, they show that they met in a Starbucks with the editor and discussed possible titles for the book. And so they finally asked little Colton, what do you want people to know about your story? What should we call this book? And little Colton said this, I want them to know that heaven is for real. So the Father says toward the end of the book, because I had a lot of questions that I didn't have answers for, I didn't spend much time thinking about heaven on a personal level, but I do now. Sonia and I both do, and we've heard from a lot of people that Colton's story has them thinking more about heaven too. We still don't have all the answers, not even close. But now we have a picture in our minds, a picture we can look at and say, wow. Someone summed it up this way. Ever since this happened, she told me, or his mother, I think more about what it might really be in heaven. I accepted the idea of heaven before, but now I visualize it. Before I'd heard, but now I know that someday I'm going to see what I believe. Heaven, according to the words of Jesus, is a place. He says, in my Father's house, there are many. Listen to this. There are many huts. There are many cabins. There are many mansions. Many mansions. What is a mansion? How would you describe a mansion in life's term nowadays? I'm thinking of a mansion more like between $3 to $10 million worth of house, a huge place. A mansion has a lot of room. Jesus talked about it. He said, I prepared a place for you. Now, Jesus has been working on it for 2,000 years. Other translations say this, in my Father's house are many rooms. Another one says, there is more than enough room in my Father's house. You know, if we have a big family, there'll be plenty of room. So it may not be a big deal for us in today's standards, as maybe you live in a 1,200 square foot house or smaller. But this is just an idea, a picture, that we will have a place in heaven, that Jesus has personalized a place. And imagine this, that Jesus, as he builds the mansions, as he builds, prepares the place for us, he customizes it to our character, to our needs. That when you and I go and he says, this is your mansion, that all you would be able to say is, wow. It's everything I could have thought of or more than what I could have imagined. This is so glorious. Jesus was speaking to a room full of men, and they lived in very simple dwellings at that time. So the apostles, the disciples, could now imagine mansions, great big buildings, great big places to live and to roam. Yes, in my Father's house are many mansions. We know that in heaven there will be a lot of people. And when you get to heaven, you look at people and you will say, oh, I didn't know that they would come here. I didn't know that so-and-so made it. And you will be just in awe and wonder. And you wonder, as these millions and millions of people are there gathered before the throne, how will I have room in heaven? I mean, isn't that going to be standing room only, shoulder to shoulder, and trying to get some wiggle room? No. There's many mansions. God has a lot of space in heaven. A Scottish preacher, Alexander McLaren, compared Jesus' words with the claim of the rabbis that however great the numbers of worshipers who came to Jerusalem every year for the Passover feast, the streets of the city and courts of the temple were never crowded. So this preacher claimed and said of heaven, there are throngs, but there are no crowds. We don't have to be scared. If you're afraid of large crowds, you don't have to be afraid of that, because each individual will have such attention, such fulfillment, that you will just be so glad you're there. You know how attentive God will be for all those that make it to heaven? Just read your Bible in the book of Revelation. I don't want to quote the scripture exactly now, but the Bible tells us, you and me, that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Imagine this for a moment. You have cried your eyes out here in life. You have suffered. You have been in pain. You have been in grief. You've experienced all the heaviness and the burdens of this life. And here you are. You make it to heaven. And you're glad you're there, but you just kind of feel still a little bruised from that old life back there. And God the Father, he comes to you personally. I don't know how I'm going to feel. He puts his arm around you and says, it's okay. He wipes your tears. Heaven is a place. Every believer of the past will be there. And heaven will be gathered all the saints of the Bible. They're redeemed from every age, every tribe, every tongue. And still, there will be room in God's house because he provides the ultimate. I think Jesus will show off what he has prepared for us. My aim is to love him so much, like we heard in the song, if ever I loved you, today is more than ever. Little Colton Burpo told of meeting his great-grandfather, who died a long time before Colton was born. He met him. He said he met his sister, whom his mother had miscarried. His mother had a miscarriage, and he met his sister. And she was, he said, she was oh so beautiful. His parents had never told him about his sister that had not made it. One day, Colton talked about he saw Jesus' cousin. He just talked about it. He said, I saw Jesus' cousin. When this happened, he was barely 4 years old. He couldn't have learned all that in Sunday school. He couldn't have remembered all that in Sunday school. He had seen John the Baptist. In Matthew 8, verse 11, it says, many will come from east and from the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't matter where we lived in this world. It doesn't matter where we came from, what race, what nationality we were. No, what matters is that we believed in Jesus Christ and he prepared a place for us. And we will sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with all the saints that have gone before us. Imagine meeting Moses. Imagine one day in heaven, and there's no night over there. An angel comes up to you and says, today you will meet Peter. Oh, wow, Peter the apostle. Or he'll come and say, today you'll meet Daniel. Or Moses. Heaven is also a place of richness. Nobody will be poor there. It's not just a picture that we have. Yes, the streets are full of gold and all of this. But Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, and I love this scripture. It's such a comforting scripture. We know that if our earthly house, this tent, which is our bodies, is destroyed when we die, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In other words, when our earthly bodies pass away, we have waiting for us a new realm of existence that is far beyond any earthly temple that ever was. In John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3, Jesus goes on to say, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And sometimes we read this very quickly and we just read over it. Have you ever thought of the significance of these words of our Lord Jesus Christ? Where I am, you may be also. That's my goal for you. Dear church, dear child of God, Jesus wants to take us where he is, because where he is, there is no more suffering. There's no more sadness. There's no more darkness. There's no more trials. You see, this same Jesus that created and was co-creator of the whole universe in 6 days, as it says, in all its beauty and splendor, in all its majesty that God created, the most unthinkable things that God made in 6 days, this same Jesus will greet us when we get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, eye has not yet seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Heaven is a place of unimaginable richness and beauty. God is not going to cut corners. And Jesus is not cutting corners in preparing our mansions. The only thing that we, you and I, need to maybe fear is that if we don't make it, that our mansion stays empty in heaven. May God help us in that. It's not so much what is there. You see, I know we're going to be marveling about the beauty and the richness and everything that is there. But the biggest thing that will impress us is that the Lord Himself is there. It's who is there. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. In Revelation chapter 21, we read before, verse 3 and 4, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. The glory of heaven is the glory of God. We will know God as He knows us. We will see Him face to face. What a glory. One preacher put it this way. He said, when that day of rejoicing arrives for you and me, He will not leave angels to welcome us, or our holy ministers and friends. In other words, God will not have ushers there to welcome us. He Himself will come like a parent to His door to receive there His long-expected and beloved child. He seems to regard this as the very summit of the heavenly happiness. Think of this. The summit of heavenly happiness is when you see Jesus Christ face to face and Him smiling and opening His arm and welcome you. That is awesome. I want to quote a few things from the book now, and then we want to pray. Colton Burpo, the father, writes about his son's decision his decision to take Colton with him to visit a former minister in a nursing home. His name was Harold. And Todd writes this. He told little Colton, "We're going to see Gloria's dad, Harold, at the nursing home. He's not doing well and probably doesn't have too much time left. Harold gave his life to Jesus a long time ago, and he's getting ready to go to heaven." Colton didn't look away from the window. "Okay, Daddy." Todd and Colton arrived and greeted Harold's wife and family. Then he continues, "Harold began to moan softly and twist under the thin sheet that covered him. I walked over and stood at Harold's head, Colton trailing me like a tiny shadow. Thin and balding, Harold was lying on his back, his eyes barely open, lips slightly parted. He breathed in through his mouth and seemed to hold it in, as though squeezing every last oxygen molecule from it before exhaling again. I looked down and saw Colton peering up at Harold, a look of utter calm and assurance on his face. I laid my hand on the minister's shoulder, closed my eyes, and prayed aloud, reminding God of Harold's long and faithful service, asking that the angels would make his journey quick and smooth, and that God would receive his servant with great joy. When I finished the prayer, I turned to rejoin the family. Colton started back across the room with me, but then he spun on his heel and returned to Harold's bedside. And as we watched, Colton reached up and grabbed Harold's hand. And he said, as everyone watched intently and listening, Colton peered earnestly into Harold's face and he said, "It's going to be okay. The first person you're going to see is Jesus. The first person you're going to see is Jesus. And then they left, and the old minister died. Let's pray. Let's stand for prayer. I don't know about your feelings and what you think, but there is a longing, a homesickness in many of our hearts this morning. It won't be very long. Really, when you think about it, it won't be very long for any of us to be there, whether it's 10 years or 50 years or 80 years. In comparison to eternity, that is very short. You and I will one day close our eyes and take our last breath. Wouldn't you agree with me this morning that the greatest wish that you would have at that moment would be to see Jesus? I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for all of us this morning, because it is God's will that all of us, every person, every adult and child and young person that is here this morning will be in glory forever. God doesn't want you to miss heaven. And we invite you to pray and to pray with me. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you that through your Son, Jesus Christ, you spoke clearly to us about the glory that is before us if we accept the offer of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for this hope that we have. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the boldness to tell others about it, and that when we pray with a dying person who is a believer, that we can comfort that person like this little boy did. Everything will be okay. The first person you will see is Jesus. Lord, that is our desire. And if someone is here this morning who is not a believer, who has not accepted you as their Savior and Messiah and Lord, we pray that they would be willing to open their hearts and ask for forgiveness. Repent of their sins and their ways and really following you, because that's what your desire is, that we be where you are, and you have prepared and are preparing many mansions for us. And Father, I pray that you would just energize us with that hope that no matter what comes our way, that we will be overcomers, that your love will carry us through every moment until you call us home. We pray this humbly in Jesus' name and for your sake. Amen. Amen.